Good morning, church. Good morning. I just want to say the worship music was very heartfelt. It's all about Jesus. I mean, that's why we're here, right? We're here because of Jesus. We're here to testify to what Jesus has done in our lives. And each and every single one of you has a testimony. Awesome testimony. It's not going to be like mine. It's not going to be like other people's. You have your own unique testimony. And the book of Revelation tells us they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Because not only are we saved for those who believe, I believe everyone in here is saved. I mean, I don't see anyone I don't know. You know, I got a lot of friends over there that I know are saved. My brother David, my brother Charlie, my brother Artie, my brother Raymond, my brother Mark, you know, and most everyone here, you know. But some of the testimonies that I'm going to talk about are people that have faced horrendous consequences of what Satan has done. But God had a different plan. I'm telling you, God has a different plan. When Satan wants to take your life, or Satan wants to destroy the things that God has given you, Jesus has a different plan. So I just want to say good morning, church. And I want to thank our pastor. I want to thank God for the opportunity of being here. You know, last time Stevie asked me, our pastor, to come and preach, I got sick. Well, my wife got sick, and she gave it to me. So it's her fault. So this time, instead of me getting sick, Stevie got sick. So he asked me to, 2 weeks ago, he asked me to prepare something. The Lord was already giving me something, you know. And he made me feel comfortable with this message because it's a message of hope. Want to pray for our Stevie before for our pastor before we start. And I like to mention the woman's tea. I heard it was a great success for all the women who participated. You know, it was a wonderful way of ministering to the women. And all the husbands said, yeah, they're gone. You know, my wife, she loves this time of year on the woman's tea. And they get ready, and that's their thing, you know. They get their tables, they buy all the stuff from Amazon, they go to Hobby Lobby, and they get all these little knickknacks to make their table look beautiful, lights and everything, and they all have a theme. And every year I go, well, that's my wife. And I always say she does dos muchos. And I'm going to give you the definition of that. Dos meaning two, and mucho meaning much. So in Spanish, English is too much. But I always say dos muchos, you know. Oh, honey, you're doing dos muchos. But I love this year. She loves to do it. And all you women to do that, praise you. Praise the Lord for what God has given you. All this imagination to get a table and to really decorate it and really minister to the women who come and sit down and listen to them. I heard the message was King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And that's what our main focus is going to be right here, because Jesus is who we're going to lift up. So let us pray, all right? Heavenly Father, first of all, we want to give you honor, praise, and glory for everything you're doing in our lives. Not only for the worship band, and as Neil was saying, that we enter your gates with thanksgiving and praise, Lord, and that you, Jesus, would be magnified. Not me or anyone else, Lord, but that you, Jesus, by your power, we sit right here. Bless us today, Lord. Let your word go forth and accomplish your purpose and your will for which you send it out, Lord. May it touch every heart that hears, Lord, and may you encourage all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. So we're going to concentrate on something that that the Lord gave me while I was in prison. He gave me Ephesians 3:14 to 21. I didn't realize it at the time why he made me memorize it. I didn't understand. He also gave me 1 Corinthians 13. I memorized the whole chapter. I didn't understand it, but I memorized it. But over the years, it has grown in me. It has developed roots. And I embrace the truth of God's word. You know, God's word, once we bring it in, it goes in our heart. It germinates in a heart that's prepared to hear it, and it grows roots. I remember one time Neil came up here, and he pulled out this root, this weed, and the root was about that long. It was long. You know, that's how our heart with God's word should be. It should develop these roots that no matter what happens, no matter the storms of life, that you will still stand. You know, you won't be knocked down. You won't be destroyed. And I'm here to encourage you. The Lord is here to encourage every single one of you. Okay, let's read Ephesians 3:14-21. I'm going to read it. Let me see if I can find it. I should have had it ready. It's all right. It gives you time to look for it, too. See if I can beat you. All right, 3:14. Yeah. Start at 3:14. Ephesians 3:14. And I am going to read it in the New King James. In fact, I know it by heart. And I kind of internalized it. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I added Savior. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that us being rooted and grounded in love may understand or comprehend the amazing power that's living in us. Sometimes I add my own words, you know, I kind of, his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that's what I mean, being rooted, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now listen to this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could possibly ask, think, or imagine according to the power that works in you. That's my brother's verse right over there, Raymond. That's his verse he wears on his t-shirt. Way in the back row. I'm fronting you off, brother. He's got a t-shirt that says before and after. You know how you see those weight loss programs, you see before and after? Well, it's the opposite. He was skinny as a rail, and now he's gained some weight, so it's the opposite. You know, but we'll talk about him later. I don't mean to put you on Front Street, Raymond, you know. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory. Who are they talking about? Jesus. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, I've certainly internalized this message. And I didn't understand it at the time. You know, but it has come for me as a bedrock of my praying for the church and for every believer. You know, now the message. For this cause, back to verse 1, for this cause I bow my knees. What is this cause? Paul wrote this letter, all right? Maybe he was talking about his conversion and all the trials he faced. You got to remember Paul. Paul was chasing Christians down. He was there when they stoned Stephen to death. He chased Christians down because he thought he was doing the right thing. He chased the Christians down, got them in their house, arrested them, And Lord knows what happened after that. They probably stoned a few, but he had all that guilt on him. And when God knocked him down, when Jesus knocked him down off his high horse, he said, Lord, who are you? And he said, I'm the one you're persecuting. By those very people you're persecuting, it's me you're persecuting. And we know his story. Ever since then, he dedicated his life to Jesus. He had to go to a street named Straight to get straight. Is that a trip? He had to go to a street, and I trip out. The street's name is Straight. He should have named it so you can see. Street so you can see, you know. But he went to the street named Straight and got straight with God. And that's amazing how God chases us down. Jesus chases us down. There's a song my brother doesn't like. It's called The Reckless Love of God. You know, and sometimes it may seem that God is reckless when he goes, leaves the 99 and chases them down. But we know that the 99 is already safe. There's no wolves. There's no nothing trying to get the 99. God is God. He can do whatever he wants. And he goes and chases after that one sheep. Oh, man, what's amazing. God is amazing. Or maybe Paul was, in fact, Paul would call himself the chief of sinners. That's what Stevie's like to say, that he's the chief of sinners. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And he knew what kind of man he was. In Timothy 1, 15 and 16, you don't have to, I got it written down here. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. My brother Tom's teaching on 1 Timothy for a long time. He's a great teacher. You should attend one of his Bible studies. He's a great teacher, not only a great worship leader, but a great Bible teacher, you know. And I really do thank you for what you do, Tom. So Paul said that he was the worst of sinners. Oh, here it is. So of whom I am the worst. But for this reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. How many know that God is very, very patient? The Bible says that he's patient for a reason, right? Yeah. The Bible says that he's patient for a reason, so that all may come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Guess what? If he wasn't patient, we'd all be destroyed in a nanosecond, you know? I drive the bus. I drive an MTS bus, one of them long ones. The ones that look funny, you know, they turn funny and everything. And believe me, when I first started driving, I learned patience. I learned patience with the traffic. I learned patience with the people. I learned patience with people who slandered me. I learned patience with people who tried to spit on me. I learned patience with people who got on the bus just looking for a fight. You know, I learned patience. I learned how to deal with the traffic. And that's so hard to do. But God goes beyond. He is so patient that he will wait till every sinner, every single soul who he has predetermined, predestined, knows who's going to be saved, wait for that person to be saved at that very moment. When you think you were saved, it was by God's predetermined will that you would hear his word, that you would get on your knees, and that you would say, God, Jesus, help me. Am I right or am I wrong? Am I weak or am I strong? In verse 9 of Ephesians 3, he also says, maybe it was this, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, mysterious plan, and of all things had kept secret from the beginning. What did he mean? He's talking about the church. There had never been a church existed with Gentiles and Jews. They were separate. Gentiles and Jews were separate. But God had this mysterious plan that he was going to bring all his people under one banner, under one name, the name of Jesus. The Old Testament alluded to it sometimes, but it was kind of vague. The prophets kind of understood it a little bit, but the New Testament revealed it. The creator of all things that kept secret from the beginning, the church. This new entity of believers united by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus by his death and resurrection. He, Jesus, would bring together both Jews and Gentiles alike into one family. Didn't I just say that? I guess I had it memorized. Next page. One body, the bride of Christ, the gospel, the new birth, the new creation. You know, I remember when I was saved, you know, and if you need a title for this, Pastor Dan, what causes you to get on your knees? This is what we're going to talk about. This is the meat of the message. Remembering your conversion. What happened to bring you to that point? Now, I got three people that I'm going to mention. Two are here. One of them isn't. So I'm gonna mention the one. These are friends that I grew up with. They're from the same gang I was in. They all had done prison time, and they had all been drug addicts, and doing very bad things, very bad, worse than me. So I'm gonna talk about my friend, who one day he was walking in the neighborhood. And he happened to be walking with someone else, my godson, Freddie. And someone pulled out a shotgun. And they both ran. And Ernie got blasted in the back. Phew. It threw him feet, man. He went flying in the air. He woke up in the hospital. And he always remembered that. But God saved him. Right now, I'm telling you, right now, at this moment, he has his own church in National City, and he has a Spanish-speaking church, and he's the pastor of that church. Right now, preaching the praises of Lord Jesus of how he saved him. Ain't that amazing? Man, that's amazing. He showed me his back. He's got this big old dent in his back, you know? And I hope he listens to this, because to me, that's an encouragement. Of when Satan tries to destroy you, and God said, wait a minute, this one's mine. You're not taking him. This one is mine. Isn't that amazing? Jesus fights for us, you know. He is a loving God. He is our protector, man. He wants us to spend eternity with him. The other gentleman, I'm not going to front you off, Artie. But he's in the back seat. About 2 years ago, he was shot in the head and in the leg. He's from Victory Outreach. What caused that, I don't know. Maybe you can ask him his story. But I'm just going to hit the highlights, you know. They thought he was going to die. He's from Victory Outreach. Victory Outreach called an emergency meeting. Everybody meet at UCSD. There was 100 people there. Homies, homegirls, people just coming in who went to the church. You got to remember, Victory Outreach, they welcome in those that society doesn't want near them. I'm not saying most churches, but there's a lot of churches. You go in, like my brother Artie's covered with tattoos. From his forehead all the way down, you know? He looks like a gangbanger. I wouldn't want to be around him. But that man, God has a purpose for him. God has purpose, man. I tell you, man, Satan wanted to kill him. Jesus said, this one's mine. We were at the UCSD. Victory Outreach brought a speaker and a microphone, And everybody started praying. His dad got up there praying. His wife got up there praying. His brother got up there praying. And everybody was praying for him while they're working on him. Doctors are furiously working on him. And God spared his life. He had mercy. Thank you, Jesus. He's got purpose. He's got a job for you to do, Artie. You know that. You know that, Artie. You know, and God is amazing. You know, just the things he does, man. And the next person, I met him a couple years ago. I mean, I knew him for a long time. But I seen him on 16th and Imperial. I was getting off work. Our bus, where we park our buses, are right there on 16th and Imperial. And I walk out there, and you're so used to seeing the homeless. They look like zombies. I'm not lying. I had one guy who used to get on the bus, and this guy, as soon as, before he even entered the bus door, it started stinking. You know, bad, you know. But they have nowhere to take showers. They have nowhere to clean themselves, you know. This guy used to get on. When he left, the stink was still there. You know what he told me one time? I picked him up. He goes, I would not wish homelessness on my enemy. That's what he told me. Man, it's a scourge out there in downtown, you know. This guy I'm going to call up, he's going to talk for a few minutes, and then someone give me those that hanger thing so I can pull him off the... I'm going to let him get up and talk, you know. But when I seen him, he was looking on the ground, and I recognized him and said, we call him Little Man. Hey, Little Man. I go, hey, Little Man, what happened? He was in Victory Outreach. He had slipped. You know, he was already saved. He had slipped. And he had found himself homeless. When I seen him, I go, what happened? He started giving excuses about his car being towed or truck being towed, and he had nowhere to stay, man. And he looked just like one of them guys on the street. I mean, it must be so hard for them to be on the street like that, you know. Not even being able to take a shower, having to, I'm pretty sure you've seen a homeless guy when you're going to Jack in the Box or McDonald's, they're right there by the drive-up window, and they want you to buy them something, you know, and you feel so terrible, you know, that, oh, man, I ordered pickup, you know, or whatever, you know, and sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, you know, and then you say, Lord, help that person, but it is, I'm going to let him come up for a few minutes and let him tell his testimony. Come on, Little Man. Come on, Raymond. His name is Raymond, not Little Man. But I just called him Little Man for so long that I want you to look at his T-shirt. On his T-shirt, he has, like I was telling you before, he has before and after. And one of the verses he has is Ephesians 3:20.
Testimony. Okay, so good morning, family of faith. You know, this morning, as I was getting up and I started praying, the Lord told me to come and give a word of encouragement to you. Because I don't know, somebody needs to hear this, because some of you may have loved ones, okay, friends, families who are out there lost, broken, okay, discouraged, because that's how I was. My brother Fernando said, the enemy tried to take me out, okay? And as a matter of fact, they found me dead on August 25th, 2022, of a fentanyl. I had thrown in the towel, you know? But we that are a family of faith know that Jesus Christ has the final say-so. So I'm just here to encourage you guys and tell you guys to hold on to faith, hope, and love. Because I'm just an answer prayer. Okay, I remember when my brother used to go down there and see me, you know, a mess. It used to hurt him. You know, so with all diligence, continue to pray for your loved ones who don't know Christ. Okay? Because he is able to do the impossible of somebody's life. Thank Amen. You.
Once again, his teacher says, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That power works in us. That's God's mighty, dunamis power. That's what lives in us. I'm going to talk about one more person. Unfortunately, he passed away. On Tuesday, May 10th, 1994, Jeffrey Dahmer was baptized by Roy Ratcliffe in the Columbia Correctional Institution. 6 months later, he was killed by another inmate. Roy says in his book, he wrote a book later, he says in his book, called Dark Journey, Deep Grace, since Wisconsin does not have the death penalty, Jeffrey would spend the rest of his life in prison with no opportunity to atone for his sins. But, let me say, but the blood of Jesus can cleanse even the chief of sinners. That's what Paul said. Do you think Paul, I'm pretty sure Jeffrey Dahmer came later, but Jeffrey Dahmer is the chief of sinners too. Can the blood of Jesus atone for Jeffrey Dahmer's sins? People might not like it, but yes. The answer is a resounding yes. And his crimes were horrific. Horrific. Judas, his crime of betraying our Lord and Savior was horrific also. But he saw repentance was shown him and he refused it. He never accepted it. You know, we don't know who's going to be saved or who's not going to be saved. Only God knows that. So, I'm going to read the rest. If Jeffrey Dahmer cannot be saved by grace, then no one can. Not me and not you. At Jeffrey's eulogy, 6 months later, in fact, he received from a woman a Bible study that she sent to him. Her name was Mott. Her last name was Mott. Maria Mott, or I forgot. But she sent a Bible. He finished the course, then asked to be baptized from that course. So when Jeffrey, when another minister told Roy Ratcliffe, another minister told him about it, he assigned him the job of going to talk to the prison minister and see how they can baptize Jeffrey Dahmer. At his eulogy after he was stabbed, after he got baptized, 6 months later in November, he was stabbed to death. Bludgeoned to death. Two inmates were bludgeoned to death by one other inmate. And in fact, it's pretty ironic, the same way that Jeffrey Dahmer killed his first victim, was bludgeoning him to death, is the same way that he died. You know, we live in a cruel world. There's sick people out there, but they still need salvation. You know, I run into them all the time. People that want to fight me. In fact, we had a driver who was driving the 235. He was an Escondido. And he refused a ride to someone. The guy got angry and stabbed him 8 times. The guy survived, you know. But I don't care if people don't got no money, just so I don't have to deal with the argument, free ride, free ride, free ride, free ride. I don't care. It's not my job to enforce that. If they want me to enforce that, they got to bring one of those MTS people. I'm not a law, a cop, you know. So just to avoid, and some people just come in the bus and they just pass you by, which is very disrespectful, without saying a single word. They just pass you by. I go free ride. They're already primed and ready. As soon as you say something, they're going to give you a litany of cuss words. You know, so I don't even deal with that. See, God has taught me a lot of patience. You know, and each life is considered precious to God. So precious that it cost the life of God's one and only Son. And one drop, just one drop, can save all humanity. Ain't that amazing? That's truly amazing. I am so humbled by that fact. So at his eulogy, Roy Ratcliffe said, Jeff confessed to me his great remorse for his crimes. He wished he could do something for the families of the victims to make it right. But there is nothing he could do. He turned to God because there was no one else to turn to. But he showed great courage in his daring to ask the question, is heaven for me too? I think many people are resentful of him for asking that question, but he dared to ask and he dared to believe the answer. Psalm 32:1-2 said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity. God has a way of chasing us down and bringing to bear all circumstances so that we come to him. He wants to save us. And for most of us in this room, I think we're all saved. You know, if there's someone who isn't saved, please, as we sing the last song, please come up. Let me pray for you. Let me make sure that you know that you're going to heaven. I will pray with you, and we will ask Jesus to come into your heart, to change you, to save you. I remember being in prison, and I went to Donovan State Prison, and that's like a starting point, you know, when you keep going to prison back and forth. I've done 4 prison terms. I've been probably locked up for about 13 years. Oh, yeah, let me put on my beanie. This is how I looked. I did a robbery one time with a beanie, all right? I thought that when they took me up in the lineup, I thought they weren't going to recognize me. They did. I did time for that, so I can tell you that, you know. But, you know, how stupid we are sometimes. You know, gangs, they exist. You know, they fight over territory. You know, they things happen. You get shot at, you know, and things happen, you know. But we're not here to talk about me. We're not here to talk about my gang life or anything like that. We're here to lift up Jesus, you know. And sometimes when, so we come to him. He wants to save us from what? Of course, hell. This is where I was going. I went to Donovan State Prison, and we used to go there. There's a big day room. There's 2 sides. It's a bottom tier, top tier. And you go in, there's a day room. And so you're there, when you first get there, you're there for 23 hours a day. You only come out for chow. And that's breakfast and dinner. They give you a sack lunch. They throw it in your cell, and that's what you eat. You eat peanut butter and jelly, or a slap of bologna and a slap of cheese with 2 pieces of bread, and you're going to be happy with that, or else, you know, or don't eat it, you know. So there used to be a pastor named Bill Pierce. He used to walk the tier and say, Bible study outline, Bible study outline. And everybody used to say down the line, sign up for it so you get out. So you get out. And so everybody was, all the homies would sign up for it, and we get out. And while the pastor's preaching, we would be on one side smoking cigarettes and laughing and everything and joking around. And this pastor, one of them, hell and fire paths, he's preaching, you're all going to go to hell. And he looks right at us and points at us and says, I'm talking to you. You're all going to go to hell. And someone in their cell says, oh, no, like that, you know, making a joke out of it. And we all laugh, you know. But he was right. I was going to hell. I was on my way to hell. Man, that's how some people are. That's why Neil and Yvonne do what they do. That's why Pastor Stevie, that's why Pastor Dan, Pastor Lou, and every other else who names the name of Jesus Christ wants to do. You want to tell everyone about Jesus Christ because you don't want him to go to hell. You heard little man Raymond's testimony that he said, if you have a loved one who is not saved, don't give up praying for that person. Man, because there's hope. I can't imagine someone that I know, and I've known people that have died horrible deaths and died ODs, and I know for sure that went to hell. But I'm not sure. That's God's realm. What you try to do is you try to get them to know Jesus. You get them to pray to Jesus, and he's the one that saves them. Because no one likes, I don't want no one to go to hell. I wouldn't want my worst enemy to go to hell, except Satan. He's going to hell anyways, you know. That's already a done deal, you know. He's already messed up his, all the angels that took his side, they already messed up, you know. They're on their way there, and they know it. That's why they're angry. Someone gets here and talks about Jesus Christ, oh, they're going to attack you. Leadership, oh, they're going to attack. Who's going to take the presidency? Oh, they're going to attack him. You know, we got to keep praying for our leadership. Praying for people we know who are not saved, as Raymond was talking about. So sometimes when things go sideways, backways, and any other way but our way, we can ask why. I'm going to ask you something, church. Or we can say Romans 8:28. I'll ask you later. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, predestined them, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. He predestined you. God would not be God if he didn't know everything. I can't imagine serving a God who I could figure out. Man, what kind of God is that, you know? Man, that if I could figure him out, oh, yeah, I know what you're going to do, God. Oh, yeah, this is better for me, you know. I want to go this way. You say, no, but I think this way is better. God always knows better. He sees the beginning from the end. You know, we're finite beings waiting to be eternal. Inside, we're eternal. Inside, we have his spirit if we're saved. We're on this side of eternity. You know, like I said, this sometimes truly amazes me, and I can't wrap my mind around that. Maybe this is what drives Paul to his knees. What drives you to your knees? When you wake up one morning and say, Holy Spirit getting a tug of your heart and says, I saved you for a reason. You get on your knees and you say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And you keep saying it all night or all morning, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And you can't say it enough, but you can say it for eternity and it still would not be enough. There's a song that my wife, she's funny, she made me play it like 3-4 times this morning, you know. And I had been listening to it, and I really love this song. I'm going to read you the words of it. It's called Knees to the Earth. And I want you to listen to the lyrics, because what drives you to your knees? Knees to the earth, wonderful Savior, my heart belongs to thee. I will remember always the blood you shed for me. Wonderful Savior, my heart will know your worth, so I will embrace you always as I walk this earth. Be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to you. Here I am. beautiful Jesus, how may I bless your heart? You ever get up in the morning and say that? Lord Jesus, how may I bless you this morning? Beautiful Jesus, how may I bless your heart? Knees to the earth, I bow down to everything you are. Beautiful Jesus, you are my only worth. So let me embrace you always as I walk this earth again. Be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to you. Here I am. Thank you, Jesus. You know, again, what brings you to your knees? That says it all. What brings you to bend the knee to the King of Kings, to the one who gives you your next breath? He's so worthy. So worthy. Ephesians 3:14 says, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, the glorious presence of God himself living in us. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Psalm 73:24, 26 says, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Verse 17 in Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. And here we go back to the roots, rooted and grounded in love. That's why you need God's word to be rooted in your life. You need to nourish God's word. And that's through fellowship, through prayer, and that's fellowship with the Lord God. And whatever God has allotted you to do, he has given us a second chance. We're eternal beings now. We're going to be with God forever. We're going to be with our Lord and Savior forever and ever. And as Maribel's brother used to say, forever. You know, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. Did I read that? That through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height. Oh, yeah, roots anchor plants and trees in the soil to keep them upright and stable. When the storms of life and the winds of adversity pummel the soul, we can stay grounded and guided by his love and kept from hate, jealousy, envy, pride, and bitterness. How many know that all those that I mentioned right now, they make you sick? You hang on to bitterness, it's going to make you sick. You hang on to envy, it's going to make you sick. You know, you hang on to those things that aren't godly, it's going to make you sick. As the psalmist says, trees planted along the riverbank bearing fruit each season, their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. What is the length and depth and height? We can never know it completely because it is unfathomable. Throughout eternity, we will never come to the place of saying that we know all that there is to know of Christ's great love for us. That's such a truth. But we can spend eternity finding that out. Isn't that amazing? Briefly, we can consider that the breadth of Christ's love encompasses a great multitude that is beyond number, consisting of people from every nation and tribe and people and tongue. Revelation 7:9. It also takes in every concern, every child of God, in every age, no care of ours is beyond the breadth of God, of his love, the breadth of his love. The length of Christ's love extends from eternity to eternity. We have already seen in Ephesians 1:4-5, we didn't read that he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will. It is an eternal love that will not let us go. And I don't have time to go into depth and how, but I'm going to go straight to the verse that's on Raymond's t-shirt. All right, and this, I love this verse, man. I truly, truly love it. And verse 21. And I'm going to leave you with this, brothers and sisters, and let this grow in your hearts. Mark this. Let this grow in your hearts. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. That means much, much more abundantly above all that we ask or think. And I always add imagine. Because when you think, you can imagine all kinds of things. That's thinking. So you let your imagination run wild and say what it's going to be like in heaven, because you can't imagine. If he created all creation with its complexity and all the molecules and all the different life forms on here, on this planet, that you can't even number them, God's imagination is far above what we can imagine. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and his ways are higher than our ways. We can never come, but we have all eternity to figure that out. And I'm so thankful that God, by his mercy, saved me and saved Artie, saved my brother David, saved my brother Charlie, saved Little Man, saved Mark, and every Frank. I'm glad you're better, brother. Good to see you. And Rosario, all right. Saved every each and one of you, you know. And that's what it's all about, man. I mean, it's simple. It's all about Jesus. It's all about connecting with him and connecting with other believers. I guess that's it. Let us pray, right? Amen. When Tom's going to play this last song, Trust in God, all right? I asked that all you listen to this song. I mean, if you have to go, you have to go. But listen to this song. Let it minister your hearts. Because God's speaking to you today, because there's someone in your life that you know who is not saved. And I want you to think about that. Because someone prayed for me. Someone prayed for my brother. Someone prayed for Charlie. Someone prayed for Ernie. Someone prayed for David. Someone prayed for Artie. And we were no good, man. Man, but God is his mercy. So if you want to come and get prayed and get anointed and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, brother and sister, it's open. Let us pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father God, for your grace and mercy. Your word is so powerful, Father God. It touches our heart. Let your word that you have given me today to speak, let it grow in our hearts. Let it be nourished by your word, Father God, and let it grow deep roots. May we leave here different than when we came here, Lord, knowing that you have purpose for our life. In Jesus' name we pray.